Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great joy it is to be here this morning, to be standing, and to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating the gifts and the blessings that come to us from Almighty God. Indeed, as we worship, might we meet the living and resurrected Christ in some new and different ways that seeks to guide and direct us in this week ahead. And as we do so, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Diane's the Cheshire Cat up here. When she stops the music, we all have to get back into our seats. So who's in control? The choir director. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I, again, offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially our visitors. We do have a baptism this morning, so we do have some guests. And it's wonderful to have you here worshiping with us, and especially on this special day in the life of your child. A reminder to all present, please sign the registration sheets in the red folders that are located at the end of your pew. Pass it to others in the pew and bring it back to the center aisle. If you are interested in any information about the church, you can check mark it in that registration pad. You can see an usher, or you can get a welcome packet in the narthex. That's the hallway right immediately outside the sanctuary. That packet of information is hanging on the shepherd's crook. If you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the 3x5 index card that you will find in that red holder. Place it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward. I would like to highlight a few of our announcements. The Outreach Committee will sponsor Thanksgiving food baskets. Believe it or not, we are into November. Thanksgiving is just a few short weeks away. So if you are able to help with food items, please see the poster board in the narthex, and you can mark what items you are able to contribute. Diane, our music director, has a few announcements.
Now, Tracy said, believe it or not, it's almost Thanksgiving. Well, I'm going to talk about about Advent. Nothing like rushing the season. First of all, November 22nd, Witness Committee is having the Hanging of the Greens. We know it's always a good time when we come and decorate our lovely sanctuary for the holidays. If you're able to come, we're going to have pizza for lunch. And we're usually out of here by about 2 o'clock, so if you are able to come, please come and help us. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something really difficult. I'm going to ask you to remember this for about an hour. Just outside the door, on the right, toward the parlor, there's a big bulletin board. There are two pieces of paper on it. One is for Advent wreath candle lighters. If you, friends, family, want to participate in doing some of the readings and lighting the candles for any of the Sundays during Advent, that begins the 29th of November, please sign up for one of those times. Secondly, there's a rather big stack of paper for pictures, for a picture schedule for the church directory. For those of you who maybe haven't been here for a couple of weeks, we're trying to do this without a professional photographer. We have two or three, depending on the Sunday, volunteer photographers just to take some headshots that we can put into a directory, which we will make ourselves. It's going to be real quick. We have time between services for about 8 people or families per photographer. And we're allowing about 10 after the second service. Please, please, please sign up there. I ask for your family name and your phone number so that we can call and remind you. But after first service, there was such a run on it that we have one name. So I'd rather not have to call everybody in the church to come in and get their picture made. So please take time. Figure out when your family's going to be in town and sign up for that. That's why we're doing it during Advent, because that's the time a lot of families get back together. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Just a reminder that Veterans Day is this Wednesday, November 11th. And please take a moment to honor veterans by hanging or displaying your flag at home. We will have veteran recognition this morning in our service. And our veterans are going to be receiving a star that was part of an American flag that has been flown somewhere in the United States and is no longer flying. It was retired, and they utilized the stars on the flag. There's a great article that in today's bulletin that explains the program that was started, and the veterans will get to carry this as a reminder that they have not been forgotten. So please do your part this week in recognizing our veterans. And just finally, a reminder to check your bulletin for other announcements, scheduled meetings, and other activities in the life of our church. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Come to God's house with your songs and prayers.
We lift our voices to God.
Come to God's house with your hopes and joys.
We bring our thanks and praise.
Come to God's house with your needs and fears.
We lay down our burdens before Christ.
Come to God's house with your gifts and treasures.
We offer our lives to Christ.
Come to God's house with all that you have and with all that you are.
Let us worship together this day.
Please remain standing and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of our opening prayer. Please recite that with me. God of abundant love, pour your Spirit upon us, that we may recognize our abundance and give our love and our lives completely and freely to you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
I have asked Tracy to come with me and be a reader to help save my voice today. But I would invite the family to come on up at this time.
Please turn in your red hymnal to page 39, Baptismal Covenant, number 2. Brothers and sisters in Christ,
Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's almighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without a price. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
Will you nurture your Son in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I do.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and the flood you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and to he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory.
What name is given to this child? Bo. I think you want to see. Is that better? I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born with water and the Spirit, you may ever be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Does he want his binky?
Diane, you have a choir member.
Show him the truth, you know I to be.
baptism.
Bo Kenneth, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Bo Kenneth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Now please turn to your bulletin for our final congregational response. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, for our hymn of praise number 90 in your red hymnal.
How are you? I think there's some more coming. I see shadows. There's one. There's two. Yay. How's everybody today? Good, good, good. You've got a dance shoes on your shirt. You've got a heart on your shirt. And you've got a Steeler helmet on your shirt. What's the back say? Biggest 33 Steeler fan. Is that you? Are you the biggest Steeler fan? Are they going to win today? Is that a yes? Okay. All right. Jesus today, in his story, was in the church, checking out the people. And you know what? He wasn't very happy. And, you know, this is the kind of day. You know what Jesus talks about today? Makes me very nervous because he talks about people wearing long robes. Guess what? I got a long robe on today. And Jesus doesn't speak very highly of men in long robes. Uh-oh. But they wore them outside all the time. And I don't. I take it off after church. But in Jesus' day, people wore long robes like this because they wanted people to treat them special. They liked to be treated special. And then it came time to give their offering. You know how you collect in the buckets? And you know how it makes a lot of noise going in here? Well, that's how they did it in Jesus' time. It made a lot of noise. And so the people that had the long robes and all the money, they would make a lot of noise when they put their offering in. And there was a woman, when she came up, she put in two things like this. What do I have here?
Money.
Yeah, what kind? You know what those are?
Money.
2 pennies. She put in 2 pennies. Now, the other people did it like this. So it made lots of noise. And everybody knew what they were putting in. But the woman, she put hers in very quietly. And 2 pennies is all she had. But she gave everything that she had to Jesus. And he said that was the best offering that was given that day. Because it was the least amount, but it was everything she had. And Jesus wants us to make sure that we give him what he needs and that our hearts always where Jesus wants it to be. So that's our lesson today. It doesn't matter whether it's a penny. It doesn't matter whether it's a bunch of money. Did you ever see a bunch of money? I should have brought this down with me. Oh, it's still there. See a bunch of money? What do we have here? How much is that? That's a 5. There's a bunch of 5s. How much are those? 10s. 20s. Yeah, there's a bunch of money here. But this is what made Jesus happy. Not all this. The 2 pennies. All right. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you know our hearts. And we pray for these boys and girls and their hearts for you. Continue, O God, to bless them, as well as their moms and dads and all of those that care for them, that they might continue to give their hearts to you and live for you. For it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Diane and choir, for that beautiful anthem.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament. It will be Psalm 127. And this psalm is a song of ascent. And it means that it was the song sung as pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Please hear these words. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And here ends our reading of Psalm 127.
Good morning. We come to a part in our service where we want to recognize the veterans of our armed forces that are here with us today. I would like to mention to everyone, I've heard some discussion on this, and I think it's kind of strange in a way, but sometimes veterans don't feel like they're veterans. So I'd like to pose this to you. If you ever took an oath to defend this country with your life if need be, no matter how long you were in the service, whether you saw active duty or whether you saw combat or not, if you were a part of the armed forces and you took that oath, you are considered a veteran. So Diane today is going to be playing a melody for us of the theme songs of the branches. The order is going to go like this. Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Navy, and Marines. When you hear the song of your branch, we ask for you to stand up through that piece, and once it moves to the next one, to sit down. We had a little bit of a competition this morning, and Army won, so go Army. Let's see what happens this time. Diane? Army. Coast Guard. Navy. Navy. Unfortunately for the Marines, I think the Army won again. I'm going to do something slightly different, but I'm going to ask all of you that served again to stand up.
Thank you, veterans. And now I would ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Living God, thank you for showing us people of faith who live according to your word. Guide us by your Spirit to be like the poor widows of ancient days, people who trust in you wholeheartedly. Free us from fear so that we may open our hands and faithfully share our tithes and offering. All of this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you will see that Alan listed there, having been Westmoreland Hospital. Alan took up the offering at first service, so he's home. Still not 100%, and will continue to see the doctor tomorrow, Cindy said. So continue, please, to remember Alan in prayer. Other individuals there in personal care and rehab, as well as you see continuous prayer, our monthly prayer. And as the individuals have stood here this morning who have served and been in active duty, you see then those individuals at the bottom list who are currently serving in active duty around the world. So we will want to continue to remember all of these individuals, as well as those situations around the world that are near and dear to our hearts, as we see places and situations where God's presence is needed. So let us continue this morning with our prayer hymn, number 408, The Gift of Love. Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be welcomed into your church, your home, your kingdom. For it is here, O God, that we can spend a few moments in the quietness of your presence, seeking the stillness of your voice, and knowing, O God, that you will speak to us. It is here, O God, that we can experience your love, your grace, and your forgiveness. It is here that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we are welcomed. For we know, O God, that all of your children are welcome in your presence. There's nothing that you hold against us. You desire for all of us to come. And so we find ourselves here today, mindful of your presence and your teachings, the gift of life and love in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was, who is, and who will forever be, the one who came as that child of Bethlehem, to experience all of the human emotions, to live in our midst and to offer us teachings on wholeness and health and well-being, the one who is our example.
the one who calls us to be in relationship and fellowship with you. And you are the one, O God, who daily showers gifts and blessings upon us, so that we in turn might shower gifts and blessings upon those that surround us every single day. O God, we pray that we will be faithful stewards over that which you have placed upon us and within us, that in being good stewards we might be your faithful servants. O God, as we come this day, we are mindful of others. You call us to pray for each other. You know the names of individuals on our prayer list. You know names that have been voiced. You know the situations upon our hearts that cannot be made public. You, O God, know the needs and the hurts around the world. We pray for your presence. But more than that, O God, we pray that when we see needs in our midst, that we not just pray, but that we put words or hands or feet or ears in place, that we might do something about that need that needs to be met. O God, we are thankful this day for the veterans that have faithfully served this country. We are mindful in the scriptures when the call went out and individuals rose to the task of serving you through serving in the military. Oh, sometimes, O God, people even wondered what you were about when you took a great multitude of warriors and you trimmed it down to hundreds. And you did so that we would be mindful that we need to put our trust in you, not in numbers. We still, O God, struggle with that today. How do we put our faith and our trust in you and not the stuff of the world? Oh God, we pray that we might take little steps, that we might take big steps, that we might trust you as the widow in the scripture that we'll hear trusted you. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. As we share together in the prayer he has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us this day from Mark's Gospel, if you are able, I would invite you please to stand. Hear these words from Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 38 and ending at the conclusion of that chapter, verse 44. And in his teachings, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And Jesus sat opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for words of Scripture and for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort. All of those activities, O God, in our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This was one of those weeks where I just needed to take it a little easier. My stamina with this chest cold is not what it normally would be. And so when I was having a few moments and kicking my feet up and shutting down for a little bit, I was doing what I don't normally do, and that's social media. Matter of fact, I was saving some pictures and sending them to my family, and my sister said, "You need to go back to work." I said, "That day will be here." But one of my classmates from high school posted on Facebook that this past week he was digging around his back steps, and he uncovered a 1906 Barber half dollar. Someone said to me, "What do they look like?" And I said, "Oh, I don't even remember. I just know if you find something that's 1906, you better stick it in your pocket." Well, I replied, or whatever you do on Facebook, I said, "Man, I'd go get a metal detector and look for some more." But I don't know whether he did. So, you know, I was curious. What's a 1906 Barber half dollar worth? So I shifted from Facebook to eBay. Anybody have an idea?
You can if you were here early, sir.
What do you think a 1906 Barber dollar's worth? A dollar? No. Five, three, ten, more. $30. Oh, you knew that. You're guessing. That's a pretty good deal. $30. You know, I wouldn't mind having a pocket full of those babies. So go home and check if you got a stash of half dollars somewhere. You know, maybe you're sitting on a little bit of money. Anybody have a stash of pennies?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes. Like a big tin?
No. Oh, not. Anybody hoard anything else? What do you hoard, Bill?
64 penny half worth $32.
A 64 what?
64 Kennedy half dollars are worth $32.
So that Kennedy half dollars are worth having as well. Well, you know, if you have a stash of pennies, you'll want to sort them. You want to sort them into pre-82 and post-82. All right? 1982, that's the determining factor for pennies. Before 1982, pennies were made of pure copper. And that year, the cost of copper required us to create a penny that was a little less expensive because of the price of copper. And so in 1982, the U.S. Mint started making pennies primarily of zinc. That was cost efficient until 2006. Now, I find this fascinating. I don't know how you're going to get around politics on this one, but is it just the stupidity of the American way? A penny costs us 2.41 cents to make. But go figure that one out. A penny in your pocket costs 2.5 cents to make. Now, anybody went in on that business deal? That's what I figured. The half dollar? The pre-82? Sure. Well, when copper rose to a certain amount, there became this habit or this practice of melting pennies, and so we had to enact legislation that made that illegal, and so people now are hoarding pennies until the day comes when we don't use pennies anymore, and then they will be able to be melted down. You probably have not had a Canadian penny for a while because they quit using them. Canada quit. New Zealand quit, although I don't know any of us would get New Zealand pennies. And Australia quit using pennies. And so there's conversation whether or not we are going to keep those. But people then tend to hoard them and hang on to them just for that day when they can melt them down. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll still stop and pick one up. Anybody else? And then it's that game. Is it heads up or tails up? And what is it, heads up that's good and tails that normal day? My dad and Leanna have a competition to see who can find the most money on the ground, and they call each other back and forth. Hey, I found this today. I found that today. She called him first this summer when she found a $50 bill. Didn't even call me. Called my dad. Probably put my mom in a heart attack when she called and said, Beverly, I need to talk to Denton right away. Put him on the phone. David's fine, by the way. Paul, I found a $50 bill. And then we went out for dinner. But many of us view pennies as just pocket clutter. But in the text in Mark, a penny was all this widow had to live on. One penny. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is teaching the people in the temple. Now, the religious leaders are walking around the courtyards, and Jesus used them as an example. And I get nervous when I wear a robe and preach on this passage. But the robe was they were ornate. They were signs of leisure and dignity. They expected in their robes formal greetings, the first century equivalent. They expected to be saluted like an officer. They always looked for VIP seating. They maintained their status through the financial support of others, yes, even the widows. They were consumed with show. They wanted fame and respect. They liked their standings in society and the comfort that came with it. But Jesus noticed something. He noticed that, well, the rich, the wealthy were giving huge sums of offerings in the temple because, well, the collection was probably metal and there were big sounds when they were dumping in their coins. And so clearly in this situation, the right hand did know what the left hand was doing. And then this widow comes up, and she puts in 2 copper coins worth about a penny into the offering. Now, these two coins couldn't even compare to what the others were putting in. In fact, we've developed possibly some sayings over the years. Well, I'll give you my 2 cents. I'll put in my 2 cents for whatever it's worth. But the writer of the Gospel of Mark wants us to look deeper than the amount we give, deeper than the amount we put into the offering plate. Because the author of Mark wants us to see giving as a measurement of our devotion to God and God's kingdom. And so a comparison is made between the abundance of the religious and the abundance of the widow. Giving is simply a way to show our internal brokenness or our faithfulness to God. What Jesus seeks is a heart that is transformed. Become a widow. As one pastor puts it, change your money and it may change your heart. Change your heart and it will change your money. With a heart that was totally, completely, fully devoted to Almighty God, the widow in this morning's scripture passage has a lot to teach us. A nameless, penniless woman, without family, without status, without any means of continuing her life, she has become forever a symbol of generosity, dependence, sacrifice, and priority. We are called not to hoard pennies, but to give them away. Today continues the stewardship program in the life of the church. Today, love your church. And so Matthew 25:14 is the parable of the talents. Put some money out here on the altar, and you get to take it. You get a gift today, and you get to do something with that money. The Osborne family was sitting back there at second service. Philip, 11 years old, last year took $20. An 11-year-old boy took $20, and he went and bought candy bars. And he set them up as his uncle's auto store. And that $20 became $70. And he turned that back into the life of the church. An 11-year-old kid. I know there were some other people. I know there was a group that pulled their money, two, three, four, five of them, and they put it together and they did a spud bar, and $100 became $700 that was given back to the church. Mine will be an easy one. I'll go get honey bears or the ones I have and fill those with honey and put those out that you can purchase. It's a good year this year so far, so that's the good news. Lori, the finance chair, said that the 22nd of this month, the room over here is going to kind of become a pumpkin room. So if you've got some Thanksgiving ideas or themes, that room will be filled over there. And then in December, we'll do some things as well, whether you want to bake, whether you want to be crafty, whatever. So the money's up here. Take what you want. There's fives, there's tens, there's twenties. Take whatever you want, as much as you want. Have fun. that passage of given talents and using those talents for the life of the church. Now, someone said to me, the guy said, I've had some good luck at gun shows, and I ought to take this this wad of money, and I ought to go, I don't know, down to the casino or Salamanca or somewhere. But I ain't going to do that, just so you're aware. And I'm not even taking a trip. So if that money's all gone, check with me back there. I'm not going to be greeting everyone so that I don't pass on what I have. But if you need to find me for more money, I'll be off in a corner somewhere. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of all good gifts. And you have blessed us with spiritual gifts. Giving, caring, nurturing, stewardship, administration, teaching, preaching. The list goes on and on and on. And you call us to be faithful stewards over that which we've been given. And now's an opportunity to say thanks and to indeed produce a return somehow, some way, creatively in the life of this, your church and kingdom. We pray for your presence to bless this, to bless us, and that we might be a light to the world as we make faithful and responsible decisions to give it a try. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit will be upon us and that we might be your faithful servants. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us, and you send us forth out into the world to be your faithful servants, to be your faithful stewards. Oh God, we pray that the presence of Christ might fuel us, might be our teacher, our example, that his light might shine forth through us as we go into the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.